So we are discussing about the limit of the particle system, which is here. So you've got capital N particles, and they solve the stochastic differential equation, standard stochastic differential equation, except that it's written for B, which is a little bit weird, but it's just a function of all the particles, okay, through the empirical measure. And we were saying that this particular system has a unique solution. And in fact, I didn't underline that, but by symmetry and uniqueness in law, in fact, all these Xi are have in fact the same law. Okay. Also, of course, they are strongly, they are interacting. Okay. So they are not independent. Okay. And we were saying that heuristically, one would expect that this particle converges in some way that I will explain in a minute, to solution of a Mackin-Vlasov equation in which one replaces the empirical measure by the law of Xi. Okay, and this is what I want to discuss now. So first, let me say a few words about why this kind of equation, we can expect it to have a solution. So again, I'm assuming that B is Lipschitz continuous in the space I described before, okay? And under this assumption, you have the following. So you have the pointer N. So this is a Mackin-Vlasov equation, so let me write it NKV. It has a unique solution. Okay, and I'll give a sketch of proof just to fix the ideas. But basically, it's the Cauchy-Lipschitz theory which gives that. Okay, so so let me be a little bit fuzzy about the space in which we are working. In fact, we are working in S2, so the space of processes which are adapted to the Brownian motion and which are square integrable, which have a square integrable moment. Okay. Let's look at the map. So as usual in Cauchy-Lipschitz theory, the idea is to look at the map phi, which goes to S, from S2 to S2. Which to some x associates the solution phi x of t given by z. So z is, let me remind you that it's in L2, plus the integral between 0 and t of b of s x of s, log of x of s. Ds plus b. Okay, so you look at this map phi, and it's not too difficult to show that under the assumption I gave, okay, this is well defined, and you don't have a, I mean, this is a map from S2 to S2, and this one is a it's a Banner space, so in fact a Hilbert space. So the whole point is to prove that this has a fixed point, and I'm going to work on the time interval 0t, where t is small, so that I don't have to bother about putting weights on the distance between two guys in S2, okay? And I want to prove that phi has a fixed point, so I'm sorry, there is a stupid typo here, which is phi x of t. So in order to prove that, let's look at fix the time t between 0 and t. And let's look at the expectation of phi t x minus phi t of y for x and y is 2 to the square. Okay, and let's try to estimate that. Okay, you see that because I didn't put the volatility term in front of b, okay, the b for x and y is the same, okay, so and the initial condition is the same, so in fact this is very simple because it's just the expectation of the difference of the b's. So it's like that, and now we can use the fact that B is Lipschitz continuous in X, in the space variable, and in the measure variable to say that this is less than some constant, which is a square of the Lipschitz constant. Okay, so here I'm using that B is Lipschitz. Okay, some constant expectation of, can I use the Cauchy-Schwarz inequality? So there is a constant which depends on time, okay? And I should write that explicitly. Sorry, so it's a constant. So. So by Cauchy-Schwarz inequality, you've got the Lipschitz constant of B, okay, times T, and you have the integral between 0 and T of what you get here is the difference between the x and the difference. And the difference between the laws, okay? So the distance to the square of the law of x. To law of okay, and as I pointed out already several times, this distance can be estimated precisely by this quantity. Okay, so this is less than the expectation of xs minus xy to the square. Okay, so this is a standard property of the Wasserstein distance. Okay. So that in the end, you've got some of the constant C prime times T. So C prime now, it's actually twice the, so let me write it explicitly, it's twice T, twice the constant C expectation of the integral between 0 and T of XS. And so what we have proved is that this quantity can be controlled by this, okay? And this is the norm in the space S. So this can be controlled by the norm of the space S. So I probably made a mistake somewhere. No? I find the result a little bit too good. Okay, and because capital T is small, this is a contraction, so this is some constant C prime times T times the norm of the distance between X and Y in S2. Okay, so, okay, and if T is small, this is a contraction. So this is exactly the same proof as Cauchy-Lipschitz, except that you need to handle this term, which takes into account the fact that B is Lipschitz continuous with respect to the measure term, okay, that you can estimate the difference of the two measures by the difference of the process itself. Okay.
So on the left-hand side, you integrate over the small t, right? From capital T to, from zero to capital T to get the contraction S, right?
Say it again?
On the left-hand side.
Yes. In fact, okay, I was fast. The space here, you have to, the space is in fact, how does it work? You have to integrate in time this one to get this. Yeah, you're right. And I'm sorry, I was too fast. So it's really, it's, I'm making a mistake somewhere because the estimate is really too good. I don't know why. I did something stupid somewhere. Okay, so indeed, as you said, so this implies this expectation of the integral between zero and capital T of phi of xs minus phi of xy of ys square. Okay, this one can be controlled by some constant, but here I've got t square, so it's a little bit weird. Okay, let's say I got t squared because I'm integrating in time also. Okay, probably there is probably a small mistake in the computation, but the idea is, and this is a square here. But the idea is here, and you use the fact that S2 is a Hilbert space to, is complete to prove that this implies that you have a unique fixed point. Okay. Okay, so now we are going to use similar ideas to prove that the particle system converge to the limit system, the McLaughlin-Vlasov system. Okay, and this idea is a coupling technique due to Snitman. So let's talk about, let's say a few words about that. Convergence of the particle system. So we look at Xi, the solution of the particle system of size n, of size capital N. So now, since I'm going to let N move, okay, it would be more convenient to recall that we are I depend on N. So let me write this explicitly. So I is between 0, 1, and N. And this is the solution of the particle system size n. Okay, so and I want to show that it has a limit, and for this I'm going to introduce a system which is completely decoupled, okay, but which mimics a lot this particle system. So I look at the same particle system, except that here I'm going to look at a particle system of McLaughlin-Vlasov equation. So in this sense, so I've got the same drift, okay. But instead of putting the empirical measure, I'm putting the law of it's n tilde I. And the drift is the drift, so for particle I, the Brownian motion is the Brownian motion of the associated to x and I. Okay, so you put here the same Brownian motion as the one which was here. And in the same way, you start with the same initial condition as the one for x and I. So it's Zi, okay? And let me remind you that this is exactly the same as for Xni. So what can we say about this system? So for one thing, the X tilde and I are independent because they depend, I mean, they are depending on Bi and Zi, and the Bi and Zi are independent, okay? In addition, okay, so here I realize that I didn't say it before, but so this is a solution of a MacLean-Vlasov equation, and exactly as for standard stochastic differential equation, you have uniqueness in law. So let me add this to the result So I said that the MacLean-Vlasov equation has a unique solution, and it's also true in law. Okay, so because you have uniqueness in law, and because here you have the BI have the same law, they are all Brownian motion, D-dimensional Brownian motion, and the ZI has the same law, so the XI have the same law. So in contrast with the particle system where you had the independence from the beginning, but you were losing this dependence as soon as T was positive, here you keep the independence. So you have an NID system, okay, of particles. So in terms of mean field theory, the system is chaotic at the beginning and it remains chaotic. So chaotic is being a little more general than what we are doing. And the result, in fact, so the convergence result, will say that this guy and this guy behave, are very close as n goes to infinity. We have the following theorem, which is the convergence of the particle system. And as stated like that is due to Snitman, the limit, so for any I. So for any integral I, you have that the limit as capital N goes to plus infinity of. So the correct result is the following. I'm not going to prove this in generality, but so the difference between x tilde n and xn for this norm. Okay, so if you look at this distance, this goes to zero. Okay. So I is fixed, okay, it's not true, okay, you cannot put a soup over I here, and that's not true, okay. What is also true is that the distance of the empirical measure goes to the empirical measure associated to the law of Xi, which does not depend on that. So this is what is called the propagation of chaos, the initial condition for the X tilde and for the X where was chaotic, okay, where they were independent, identically distributed, okay, and at the limit, okay, this propagation, this chaos propagates in the sense that you converge to something which is still IIT. Okay, so I will do the proof without the soup because it's slightly simpler, but the proof with the soup is not much more difficult. So you can cook the complete proof quite easily. Okay, so the idea is to look at the difference between these two guys and to try to estimate it. Okay, so the difference between the two guys. So if you look at the exact expression, so you see the interest to do this coupling, so to use the same Brownian motion and the same initial condition, is the fact that these two quantities go when you write the difference between x tilde and x. Okay, that's the reason why I didn't put a volatility term here, because otherwise you should take into account the volatility term, which makes things a little more intricate. Assuming that the volatility term is the identity, the difference is deterministic. And in fact, it's just integral. It's not exactly deterministic, but it does not involve a stochastic term. So it looks very much like the computation we did before. So this is for the drift for this guy, and the drift for the other guy is almost is very similar, and it should be a S anyway. And here you have the empirical measure of access. Okay, and. And now we need to handle this term. Okay, so we are going to use the Lipschitz continuity of B, okay, as usual. But so this is less than T integral. So let's say we work on capital T. Okay, so for any T, here it was so here I fix a T. Okay, and so I can put a capital T here, and this is less than the integral, and I'm using the Lipschitz continuity of B to write the difference between these two guys, these guys. And using the Lipschitz continuity of B respect to the law, what I get is this. And now, this term is very nice. I can use to handle it, we can use Cornwall inequality, okay, but this one is bad, okay, because it involves all the particles xi. Okay? So it's xs. So it involves all the particles. While here we are working for one particle xi. So we need to do something there, and to do that we do it in two steps. So first we remind that because there is uniqueness in law for the Mackin-Bassoff equation. Okay, we can, this quantity does not depend on I. Okay, so let me call MN tilde NS. So there is a tilde to remind that it depends on the particle system with the tilde. Okay, so let me call M tilde S this system, okay, and I'm going to introduce, in order to simplify this expression, okay, I'm going to introduce uh, the the empirical measure related to this system. Okay. So I still continue with my notation, with my computation, with my computation, and I'm going to introduce here the empirical measure related to the extilled. Why do I do that? Well, for one thing, because the extilled are independent. This empirical measure is very close to this one. And on the other hand, it will be of the same form of the empirical measure with the X. Okay, so. And there is a constant, I never remember, it's a half, something like that. Okay, so there will be D2 of the low. D2, so I call this low, I called it M tilde NS. So there is the first part where I compare this measure, which is deterministic, and which is deterministic with the empirical measure associated with the extilled. Okay, I use the triangle inequality to introduce this extra measure. Oh, damn, I did a mistake. So, yeah, that's good. Plus, so let me write it below. So the other term is the empirical measure, the distance, so the two distance between the two empirical measures. So the point that this guy goes almost surely to zero because it is an empirical measure of an IID family of random variable with low given by M tilde of S. So that one goes almost surely to zero. And now I need to understand that, but this, I made already the remark that this is, you can estimate it by 1/n, the sum of the distance between each particle, the difference of each particle. Okay, so. This is less than t, integral between 0 and t. This distance, okay, so which is small. Plus 1/n. So here I make an approximation of the Wasserstein distance, the square of the Wasserstein distance between these two empirical measures by putting the sum over n of g equal 1 to n of x tilde j s minus x tilde x. There's an n which is missing. Okay, so what did we get in the end? We have that x tilde nit minus x nit to the square is bounded by that. Okay, so again, it's not too good because on the left I just have the I term, okay, and on the right I've got all the terms. So the idea of the proof is in the first step, we estimate the difference of, we estimate this term, okay? There is a ds which is missing. So in the first step, we are going to estimate this sum by summing over I, this quantity. And then once we have estimated this term, we can, so we have estimated this term, okay? We can use Grandmoire inequality to deduce the result. I hope it's more or less clear.
Yes.
So let's estimate of the expectation of the difference on the it's not exactly the difference between the empirical measures, but so I'm going to give a name to this inequality because we are going to use it several times. So I'm going to use this inequality star to sum it over I, okay, and to take expectation. So sum, take the sum of star over I plus expectation. And what do we get? Well, on the left, and here I should have So on the left, what I have is exactly that. Okay, so there are plenty of typos. Yes. Okay, so what we get on the left is x tilde n I t minus x n I t square. Okay. I said I would take the sum, so I need to take the sum. Okay, so if I do this, take this sum, what I get is capital T expectation of, so this sum, I've got it here, okay, so when I sum again, so I've got it here, but I've got also it here, okay, because it was there already. So in fact, I've got two of them, okay? One coming from this sum here, and the other one coming from this sum here that does not depend on I, but that has summed up again, okay? So it gives me twice this term. And here, okay, so this does not depend on I, so I'll get okay, so by the law of large numbers, so I got to go a little bit fast here. Okay, but by the law of large number, this term is a small o of one. Okay, so what I said is that this one converges almost, so this term, the empirical measure converges almost surely to this guy. I proved it I explained why it was true for the D1 by strain distance. It's the same here, okay, so there is no extra difficulty. So we know that this is small, okay? And now what I get is a Conway type inequality. Okay, which implies that which implies that this quantity is smaller than the integral. Okay, so let me write it explicitly, except that I'm going to make probably mistakes. So what I get is that the expectation of the 1 over n integral between 0, between 0 and t of that quantity, sum.
So we probably have the sum over I on the right-hand side as well. In the previous inequality.
You're right. Thank you, Christelle. The sum was missing, yes. I hope it's still readable. Okay, so by Grandval inequality, okay, so you've got this term, which is less than some constant, which is 2 times capital T, the integral between 0 and T of the same term, plus some O of 1, okay? But let me write it explicitly. And of course, as usual, I forgot the sum, so really I'm not too good today. 1 over n, sum for I equal 1 to n. So this is less than the integral between 0 and t of exponential that term. So it's 2 times t. Okay, I realize that I completely forgot about the Lipschitz constant. And I'm sorry, here there should be the Lipschitz constant all around. Okay, so when I did this, I wrote T, but I forgot to write the Lipschitz constant of B, which should be everywhere. That is the square of the Lipschitz constant. Okay, and integrate it against that. So something like that, okay? So my Grandval inequality is a little bit strange because this is the wrong term. It should be probably T minus S or something. And there should be a T. Okay, so that should be an expectation. Okay, and again, this guy is a small, is something which vanishes with one as n goes to infinity. Okay, because this one goes to zero. So what we just proved is that this quantity, which is a kind of estimate of the empirical measure, okay, goes to zero, which is a kind of estimate of the difference between the two empirical measures, goes to zero as n goes to infinity. Okay, so now we know that the empirical measure converges to the empirical measure, okay. And now we come back again to star to prove the convergence for each I. Okay, so let me remind you that the star of I is that guy. Okay, so now we know when we take expectation, we know that this guy goes to zero. We know that this guy goes to zero, and we can use again Grandval inequality to prove that this thing goes to zero. So we know that star I, after taking expectation, what we have is that this quantity can be estimated by the same stuff is integral. So the first term does not move, okay, but the two other terms, after taking expectation, we know that they are small. Okay, so we explain it. The first one is small after taking expectation, this is the law of large number. And the second one, this was the first step of the proof, which consisted in proving that guy is small also. Okay. And then we conclude by Conway inequality that this quantity goes to zero. Okay, that we get that this quantity goes to zero. Okay, then I think it's more or less time to stop. So what will we explain briefly tomorrow is why we can pass to the limit in the mean-field control problem. Okay, and I will discuss the necessary condition, the optimality condition in the mean-field control problem, and in a few. And then I will go very, very briefly to the mean field gain, where I will explain very strictly the difference with the mean field control. So I don't know if you have questions.
So thank you very much for this lecture. So are there some questions from the audience?
So there's no question in the chat.
There's one. There's Stefan Perko, is it? Did you ask something?
I think they are just applauding.
Okay.
They're clapping their hands.
Oh, thank you very much.
I'm not yet familiar with these things.
The clapping in the hands can be ambiguous because it can mean that people expect that it is the end. Unfortunately, there is still a course tomorrow. Right?
No.